This is the first time in history that an effort has been made on behalf of those people to actually confront this global force, and not only to confront it and to stop it, but to destroy it, to uproot it so it doesn't come back. Clearly, it is they're expressing concern about releasing that classified information, previously classified, because it will reveal that they were involved in espionage against the president and the prospective president, against his political campaign for president. I'm talking about a loose alliance of very, very powerful and rich organizations and people around the world who have such tremendous access to wealth that they are able to arm themselves and weaponize themselves in many ways far better than even our nation can do so.
Do you want to save some serious money? Learn how a simple gadget can double your gas mileage while creating less pollution. This simple gadget does all of this while giving your car more power and longer engine life. Learn more with the link below.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. This episode, I'm bringing back Wayne Jett, and we are going to talk about the storm. You know, people have been talking about the fact that it was a calm before the storm, and now we're in the storm. And he's going to talk about the factors that he's seeing, what's going on, the Kavanaugh, all the claims that are made against him and what all that means, and the bombshell recognition that members of Congress have come forward and are trying to negotiate to have the files with the investigation on the Russian probe made, you know, the disclosure of all those documents being open in exchange to pulling back the accusations against Kavanaugh, which is crazy. And so Wayne Jett's going to talk about that. And then some other things as far as who the pillars of power are in the world, and, you know, because this is much broader than the United States, and how we are, or what he thinks is happening to systematically dismantle their power. Very timely and good conversation. And then he sticks around to discuss more about the timing and why President Trump wants to get this to happen so quickly, as far as the disclosure documents coming open, and, you know, why he wants to do that. And before we get into this interview, I want to remind you to please sign up for that free cancer video series. I am on a serious mission to try to get that information out as wide and as far as possible. I really see it as one of the keys of dismantling this cabal and this crap that we've been living under. If there's one thing that can open people's minds, it'll open people's minds everywhere. And one out of two men and one out of three women are affected by this disease. It's affecting everyone. And when they learn the truth about cancer, it will, not only will it help their families and help themselves, it'll help us understand the bigger picture of what's really going on in our country and the world. It is such an important educational experience that we get this out there. And so I want to remind you in that. And then for my patrons, I'm going to start this raffle. I have three certificates of training that Greenflower is going to be doing. And so I'm going to be giving that away for free. I'm going to raffle it off for my patrons. I have other gifts, restaurant.com cards, and I think I'm going to be raffling off some C60, all sorts of stuff that I'm going to start doing. So look for that and I'll talk about it. But let's get into my interview now with Wayne Jett. Hi, Wayne. Welcome back to the show.
Great to be here, Sarah. Thanks for having me.
Well, I am really happy you're back. Our last segment between the two shows that have surpassed 250,000 views. People are really interested in what you have to say. And your latest blog, you're talking about the storm has arrived. We're in the middle of it. You talked about the calm before the storm, and now we're in the middle of it, and it's all happening. But one of the things that you really laid out was details of why you believe the storm is happening. And can you talk about the first thing that you listed, which is the Supreme Court nomination and all the circus around that.
They happen to do that. Yes, I've said before that many people are saying they're just tired of waiting, there's nothing going on, so and so on. Anybody who's watching knows that is not the case. You're looking in the wrong place if you have that feeling, or you don't understand what all has to be done in order to produce the action that you're interested in seeing. Most people are interested in seeing arrests of high-level people because they have been able to recognize that crime at that level is rampant and has been and needs to be punished. And so they're looking for that. I can understand that. But nevertheless, as we've spoken before, you have to take into account fully where all that crime was coming from, how it was enabled, how is it possible that people at that level can get away with all of the many crimes that have been committed, some against people at large, the nations and so forth, but some against particular individuals, long lists of dead people and things of that sort. And you just have to take into account the nature of the ruling force that was, I've spoken about it before, in 1880 was described as a pecuniary force that rules in every nation, writes laws and molds thoughts. And, you know, that was almost 140 years ago. And certainly it has, if anything, gotten worse since then, not better, because as we've discussed in 1900, basically we saw their plan that they had let the middle class grow too much, that we had to do something about it. We had to smash the middle class, destroy it completely, and go back to a two-class system, which is clearly their stated objective, and only with the number of people needed to serve them. So that's the long historical trend, and they have pursued that with deadly results the entire 20th century, and certainly into the 21st century, no doubt about it. I won't get too far into that, but we basically have that circumstance which is driving the ruling elitist cabal right now. What is going on since the election of President Donald Trump is the first confrontation, certainly in my lifetime, and I believe ever, of the ordinary people, the common people, or the middle class, the working people, the ones who make the society go and strive to do things to make their family's future better, things of all that kind of thing. This is the first time in history that an effort has been made on behalf of those people to actually confront this global force, and not only to confront it and to stop it, but to destroy it, to uproot it so it doesn't come back. Now, that I've been saying for a while, and that process, I'm fully convinced, has been going on in spades since this administration got into office, even though we see lots of fighting back, as all of us see in the media.
Well, I see indications that it's happening, like a lot more pedophiles going down and different things. And we've talked about it. There's indications of the opposite because probably of all the fighting back. But I think the reason people want to see things quicker is because we know there are people dying because of the problems that we have. And it seems like every day that we wait, there's so many more people dying, you know, real people dying, real kids being kidnapped, but what you're saying is that if we just go in there instead of with a little not, you know, scalpel, we go in there with a hatchet, we'll end up losing.
Well, let's just put it this way. Let's say that you or I, knowing what we know, are told, okay, it's up to you. Go ahead and fix this thing. You have to come to grips with the idea that there are people living in the world just like you and I who are responsible for doing something about this thing. And it is a tremendous undertaking, to say the very least. They have had to work on this for years, not just since the election, well before the election, planning in great detail on a scale that I think undoubtedly far exceeds the breadth of any ordinary human mind. There are so many variables that you have to plan for and make sure that you don't get ahead of yourself here so they can do something to you there or kill you all or something of the sort, all of which is within their capabilities. You have to be able to protect against major, what's commonly known now as false flags, much worse than the terrible ones that we've had. But by and large, it is a massive plan that is, I think, being carried out so far, as best I can tell, with great success. But we're looking for some additional evidences of progress. And so far as I understand and believe, we can expect some important information, some more developments, some more actions to be exposed in the very near future. I know we're always saying that, but there always is more. But all I can tell you is, for somebody who's very concerned about it, I'm very optimistic and positive about what is being done, where we are, and my views that we're going to continue to prevail on this thing. Now, obviously, I can be proved wrong in very dramatic ways, but we can go into further detail about that.
Well, it means a lot that you are very optimistic. I also have Jan on. It means a lot that he's really optimistic. It means a lot that smart, intelligent, caring people who really think about it are optimistic and see a good path forward. It makes others pause and go, okay, I gotta look at this and be serious, because you're one of the most detailed historians that is living, as far as have looked, with your books of Fruits of Graph and how you looked at this. And so for you to have a positive view on this means a lot.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I would say that in 2011, when my book came out, I believed I had presented what had actually occurred up to that time in terms of the efforts of this tremendously evil ruling cabal to control every nation in the world and to determine our destiny in every detail. And in terms of the prospects of doing something about that, as I just indicated a minute ago, I mean, it's like if I were the person responsible for doing something about that, I would find myself falling far short in terms of even thinking that something could be done about it. But there's nothing on the horizon. Lo and behold, within 5 years, we have our first opportunity ever to do something about it. And that's exhilarating, let me tell you.
Addiction affects millions of people, whether it's junk food, sugar, tobacco, pain medications, or alcohol. Most rehab and addiction programs do not work, and people relapse shortly after they stop. The Truth of Addiction has an answer to some of the toughest questions about addiction. There are many reasons why some people become addicted, but whatever the reason may be, the Truth of Addiction program uses evidence-based ways to help anyone overcome their urges, cravings, and some of the toughest addiction problems. The majority of people do not understand why an addict will do almost anything to obtain their drug of choice. Modern science has allowed researchers to understand addiction in a whole new light. It reveals biochemical and neurological explanations of addiction. This contradicts some aspects of most rehabs using a purely psychological or moral model of treatment. This program works on all types of addictions and can be done in the privacy of your own home. Help you or your loved ones end addiction. Click the link below to learn more.
We have more people awake and more people in positions of power that are in positions, the FBI, CIA, wherever they are, that are saying, no way, I am not going to be part of something that's this evil. I mean, it kind of backfires on them when you raise us to believe that we're free and that we're good people.
What?
So when we find out that we're not, and we're not good people for what we're supporting, we are going to fight that.
I hope that's correct. And I hope that when we get that idea and understanding, that we are in a position to really do something effectively about it. I believe that's where we're going to be. And because some very good people on a joint basis have acted together off the radar and acted to preserve our country as it was initially intended, and as we have been led to believe, it is still being managed.
But, yeah, well, they lied. They're lying.
Far from reality.
I want to get back into Judge Kavanaugh, okay? Because
yes,
some of the things that you just wrote about is absolutely bombshell. And maybe it's already out there. I don't know. But I read it from you. And this was, Thursday, Friday. It's been almost a week, 5 days ago. But you wrote that there was a deal that the Democrats, can you talk about this deal of doing a swap of the disclosure versus the accusations against the judge?
Well, of course, they are somewhat two different things, but I think, well, just let me say that there was a report that the Democrats in the Senate, on the Senate Judiciary Committee that's considering the nomination of Judge Kavanaugh, as I read it, essentially they were reading the tea leaves and seeing that they really had no chance of blocking his nomination. They could count the votes already, and all that was left was really to vote. And I think at that point, as best I remember, Senator Feinstein of California had not yet made her revelation of this letter she'd had for a number of months from a woman in California saying that she had been sexually mistreated by Judge Kavanaugh back when they were teenagers in high school. And I'm not quite sure whether that had already come out. I think it had, because it was really at the time that they were adjourning for the weekend last week. And it was just about over, all over, but the shouting. And in any event, the report is that the Democrats said, okay, we will withdraw our fight against the Kavanaugh nomination, if the president will withdraw your declassification of this memorandum information that was provided to the House Intelligence Committee, so that that's not disclosed to the public. And the report on that was that the president immediately told them no, that Judge Kavanaugh is going to be approved anyway, and that information is going to be made public. And that information, of course, relates to the aspects of what was going on in the FBI, what was going on in the Department of Justice, in their activities during the Trump campaign, and during his early presidency, relating to surveillance of his activities and setting him up by leaking false stories to the press in order to use those press reports in their applications to the FISA court, indicating misconduct and by the Trump campaign in somehow their relations with Russia. And all of that activity would be disclosed by the president's order that was made. These things run together, but his order was made something like, I think, 10 days ago, maybe less, a week ago, saying that this information is to be disclosed by normal process. I hereby order it be declassified. So that goes to the National Security Intelligence Agencies who handle that. And in that circumstance, they were beginning to work on it. And that is when this response came from the Senate Democrats saying, "Don't, if you won't do that, we'll give you Kavanaugh." Well, again, why is the Kavanaugh nomination so important? Why are they fighting it so hard? Right now, there are only 8 members of the U.S. Supreme Court. 4 of them are far left. Four of them are regarded as conservative. So it's a 4-4 tie, and you would have a tie vote on anything of importance relating to this fight against the cabal. I think that would undoubtedly be the case. And particularly, I think we have an indication of what the real concern is in the Kavanaugh nomination. What issue is going to come before the Supreme Court in a hurry that will require a fifth vote? The issue that would come before the Supreme Court that needs to have a deciding vote is the one that was being considered during the questioning of Judge Kavanaugh by Senator Graham of South Carolina, when he brought up the line of questioning about what is the your view of the state of the law, existing law in the United States regarding military tribunals and their use to dispose of crimes against the nation. And they went through that. To just make the story short as possible, that is a clear indication even to the public, what has been apparent for some time, that plans are that there are many crimes against the United States government, crimes that would rise to the level of treason, and therefore the use of military tribunals would appear to be in line with the existing law of the country and would be used to dispose of those kinds of crimes and those kind of defendants. If that were to be brought in a Supreme Court action, then a 4-4 tie supposedly would approve it, I suppose, but it would depend upon the action of the Court of Appeals before it gets there. And you could be sure that any such action would be brought in the Court of Appeals friendly to the left.
Well, you know, what's really incredible, I think, is that they're showing their hand in a big way. Because for them to say, we will pull this allegation against Kavanaugh if you don't disclose this information. First of all, that says the whole Kavanaugh, well, which we know anyways, the whole allegations is bullcrap because you can't pull it if it's real, right? You can't pull it. So it's not real. If they're even willing to pull it, it's not real. Second of all, to want it so bad that you're willing to give up on fighting for that Supreme Court position, which would potentially risk all this legislation that they care so much about, to keep it secret? What's in there that they're trying to keep secret?
Well, I believe there's a clear evidence of treason by a number, numerous people involved.
But it has to be Congress people or people with a lot of power, because they wouldn't be doing that otherwise.
I think it's very close to home for them. And so certainly it's going to be close to home for operatives of the and we'll say the ruling elite, the ones that are really above all of this and can't be connected directly to it. But their operatives are important to them, and certainly the operatives are important to themselves. So they're doing all they can. But that's the kind of circumstance that I think is presenting this just pathetically. I mean, can we point to any other nation that has had this kind of thing brought into the public arena to contest the people that are to be appointed to their highest court?
No, this is crazy.
I think...
What's laughable, though? Before you keep going, don't you think it's laughable? I mean, couldn't they come up with something better than somebody when they were a teenager with no alibis? And the same, the next one they got is he exposed himself and there's no alibis with that. And he was in college. I mean, the first one is completely laughable. He was still a kid in puberty, you know? And then the next one, he's in college and they don't have anybody that remembers it. And it's just so ridiculous.
Yes, well, one of the deciding factors here, or one of the main points of leverage, is that they have the mainstream press. And so whatever their position is going to be given great gravity and so forth. So we have that circumstance. Nevertheless, it'll be fought with every weapon that they can come up with, including allegations of this kind.
Well, this is like a plastic knife, you know? I mean, it's like a stick or something that you're fighting with. It's not a very good weapon, you would think, but it's working on the American people, according to some polls.
Well, it's a very interesting thing, for example, that the New York Times, which has been right out there on supporting this ruling cabal on every aspect of whatever program they roll out, all of a sudden writes an article supposedly exposing Rod Rosenstein as doing something or other. I try to keep up with reading each of all of the details of those things, but that they were disclosing that he was leaking information or doing something or other that was inappropriate. Well, that has been apparent to just about everybody with an objective eye, I think, for a matter of months. And yet all of a sudden, the last minute, they act as if, oh, well, this guy might even be in the position of having a conflict of interest. That has been clear to many people all the time of this special counsel. And yet he's been in the position of having sole authority, really, over the special counsel and what is being done to investigate the president, investigating the president for crimes when there is no evidence yet of any crime having been committed.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. Okay, well, let me ask you about the declassification of these documents. There are two allies that have jumped in and are scared as well. Can you talk about that? Because that's a big deal. It gets back to what we were talking about with Britain being involved, and it's a bigger deal.
Yes. When President Trump issued his order to declassify those documents, he said that in a follow-up communication, he said, "I've asked that the process of declassification be done carefully and by an approach in which the Inspector General of the Justice Department, Mr. Horowitz, will play a key role in supervising that it be done expeditiously." Also, he said, the president said, that two of our allies have contacted us in this regard, expressing their concerns. So in effect, he was suggesting that the IG would take appropriate consideration of our two close allies. QAnon has indicated that, suggested, raised the possibility that those two allies are Great Britain and Australia. Two of the so-called Five Eyes countries with whom we share intelligence information on a common basis. And in that circumstance, I believe the situation, my interpretation is that clearly it is they're expressing concern about releasing that classified information, previously classified, because it will reveal that they were involved in espionage against the president and the prospective president against his political campaign for president.
Don't you believe that it is the right at this point of the American people, if you're going to try to take down a president, you're going to try to impeach him, do all this stuff, it becomes the right of the American people to see these documents?
Well, I think there's every reason to believe when it is a type of information that is going to incriminate someone, and certainly spying against our nation is a serious crime. When the evidence and information is going to incriminate someone, there is great incentive for those people to keep it secret. And at the same time, information is required not to be classified just because it would incriminate someone or is embarrassing
exactly.
to someone, even embarrassing to someone politically. By some chance, it happens that an executive order was issued by the previous president establishing regulations exactly on the point, saying that it shall not be classified or kept classified simply because it might be embarrassing or incriminating to any person.
Well, everything right now is classified. They've figured out a way, and that's why there's so much corruption, is because they can get away. If we classify everything, corruption is going to go off the chart, and that's what we got right now. So the only way is you got to bring the light to it.
Well, I think that you could certainly express it in the way that much information is classified that keeps us from knowing that what we are told is untrue.
Exactly.
We'll put it that way. In other words, it allows the mainstream media to spin stories, or people feeding information to the mainstream press to spin stories that we cannot disprove, and therefore many people are led to believe because they have kept secret certain information by classifying it.
They can completely manipulate us.
That's right. It really limits our access to freedom of the press, freedom of information that would allow us to be informed. Security information that is required to be confidential or secret or top secret for the security of the nation, that's understandable. And there are, of course, many types of things in that category, but I won't go off into that. I think everybody understands that situation very well. But we have here a very clear example of exactly that problem, and the president is trying to cut through it by saying, go ahead and declassify this. I've looked at it, and it appears that there's nothing here that endangers the security of the country in any way by its public disclosure. And it, in fact, allows our people to be better informed about what our problems are, our security problems.
It helps
problems.
Us.
Yes.
Well, okay. What do you believe are the targets of the storm? Who are we fighting? And, everybody throws the name Rothschild around. But can you define who we're fighting? Because you've actually spent some time trying to nail this down and make it more clear for people.
Well, I'll be happy to tell you in general terms what I can. But they are centers of power that have tremendous weaponry assets at their disposal, and let me put it this way: yes, the Rockefeller, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the Gates, many people with recognizable names are in the category of either being cabalists or allied with the people who are the cabalists. And the cabalists I'm talking about a loose alliance of very, very powerful and rich organizations and people around the world who have such tremendous access to wealth that they are able to arm themselves and weaponize themselves in many ways far better than even our nation can do so. Now, there has been news, for example, just within the last no more than 2 weeks from QAnon again, indicating that several satellites under control of the cabal and used for weaponry purposes have been, and communication purposes, have been disabled or destroyed. That basically puts them in a more blind position, unable to control and command their operations as they ordinarily would. Now, you know, understanding that situation, this is a kind of opponent in warfare, if you want to put it in those terms, that is extremely formidable. This is an opponent on the scale, perhaps, of a major foreign nation and their technology, because there is no technology that the ruling elite cannot afford, I can assure you. You can call it one of their arms, not their total one, is the deep state, is being called now. And as I've said before, the so-called deep state, the armed aspects of the so-called intelligence services have largely been the controlling entity of such governments as North Korea. And I've indicated to you before that, in my opinion, one of the really important pieces of evidence that we had that President Trump and his plan were having success is that they finally, after not immediately, but after a number of months, they were able to overcome the deep state in its control of North Korea. And as soon as they did, North Korea immediately came to the peace table, indicating to me that North Korea would never have been this antagonistic, renegade, rogue state, so-called, wishing to bomb everybody here and there, if they had not been doing so under the command of the deep state. So to the extent that we are able to disable and disarm the deep state in the United States and elsewhere, I think it is in the nature of having overcome our worst military foe. And so in those circumstances, every piece of evidence that we have that we're making headway in that regard is very important and very hopeful. I'm still looking for those kind of things. There are more to come, but they are not here yet.
Do you imagine it could ever be a hot war?
Well, that is one of the objectives that the ruling elite have had for some time now. They've been doing action after action, trying to get a hot war, a major world war going. I'm talking about a nuclear confrontation, not just a confrontation, but a nuclear exchange. So yes, that is has been one of their objectives, but
So we just have level heads in these countries that are saying, "I don't want to be the one who starts a nuclear war." I mean, is that what's going on?
I think it's more than that. And again, I'm not on the inside, so this is involving some speculation on my part. But I believe it goes further than that. I think it requires the very capable use of communications technology to detect all of what is going on even in advance of these kinds of provocations. The recent shoot down of another Russian plane with basically a passenger load of about 16 people in Syria who were not combatants, anything of the sort. They were shot down because the Syrian government, I believe it was misled into thinking that they were an enemy plane or something of the sort. I would have to go back into that, but it was a senseless shoot down of a Russian plane causing 16 casualties or so, I think. It obviously was not an attack plane of any kind. I think it was a surveillance plane. But it was just involved in assisting Syria and finally winding up the end of that so-called civil war, which was never a civil war. It was an invasion by outside mercenaries sent in to overthrow their government. And in that, that's what ISIS was. And as I've said previously, ISIS has been funded by the United States, and particularly by the late Senator McCain's activities for years since it's that Syria problem started.